as we spoke about at the beginning of our Wednesday service tonight. It is the last Wednesday of the month. So we now have the gift of Spirit speaking through Baba Moses. If we have any questions on our hearts or on our minds this evening, we have the gift of Spirit speaking through Baba Moses to answer those. So I invite Baba Moses, if you would please lead our satsang this evening. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Worship Leader. And I invite each of us to bring to the floor whatever questions we have. And we trust that the divine wisdom will speak and enlighten our minds with clarity and discernment, that we may be able to use this as an instrument of growth and awakening in our lives.
I have a question. What is the difference between what we would call Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, and an angel, if there is a difference?
The question that we're being asked is, excuse me, what is the difference between an angel and an archangel, if there's anything like that? Like any organization, there are different positions or assignments given to individuals. When you actually look at it, it's the human mind that creates the hierarchical thing about this is an archangel, this is an angel. And since we are dealing with the earthly thing, so we've accepted that. And we also must be very aware that the names assigned to these archangels, say for example, Archangel Michael, in other religious or spiritual system, he is known as Apollo. And before Apollo, he is known as Nusef. So the same angel is given different names. So before, when we talk about Apollo, it says the god of the sun and all of that. So the same attribution is given to Archangel Michael. And in the Middle East, in the way old days, where he's known as Nusef, it's the same thing. So when people are doing this, you wonder what the human mind can create. I don't think when they say Apollo has other gods under him. He was just Apollo, right? And he carries out his function. He doesn't say, hey, you are under me. Okay, go and do this. So the different angels, they have different functions. So when we look at that, because it's the same power of God that permeates through them, that divinity. So how many people can say they've actually seen an angel? So when they read about these things, and usually when these things are presented, they're presented in code. So They try to discern it, and then they give it the same hierarchical assignment. When Archangel Michael shows up, depending on the mission he sent, he can bring his full power on, or he may not. You don't take a bazooka to go kill a housefly, you know. So if it's where he still shows up so that he can accommodate where that individual soul is, because not all of us can take the vibration of because they are made of fire. Yeah. So then we say, oh, okay. But then when he shows up in his full power, like say as a warrior, then people say, oh, you know, he's so powerful, that's the archangel. It's the same angel. Do we understand what I'm saying here? So it's a human interpretation, translation. Does he have other angels that would be supportive? Yes. Yeah. So, and if we want to continue for people to, because you don't want to take away until you know the individual soul is ready. You don't want to take away what they believe in. You want to use it to enhance and help them until then they will discover. And then you can talk about, if Lord Jesus Christ is talking to us, or Lord Buddha or Krishna, about certain things that we can't even comprehend, so why would they be wasting their time telling us? So they go according to our understanding. So yes, maybe we say, yeah, there's a hierarchy, Archangel Michael up there and other angels. Because then people say Michael is the strongest of them all. No, he's a warrior. It doesn't mean he's better than Gabriel. Everybody has their own function. It doesn't mean he's more powerful than Metatron or Raphael or Uriel or Aniel. I mean, they have them. Yeah. So my encouragement is, wherever we are, let's, you know, then with time we continue to, but never stop asking the spirit that question. If there's something in your mind that you're just ask spirit, grant me this clarity. I want to know. Because if Buddha, Lord Jesus Christ, can know, how did they know? It's because you told them, you revealed it to them. So reveal it to me the same way you reveal it to them. Then I can validate what they know. You know? After all, I'm your child, just like they are. So why should I be left in darkness and in ignorance? And then claiming that, okay, this is it, when it's not the truth, the total truth. And then when we feel we can handle the truth, we say, Lord, bless me to be able to handle the truth. So let's just leave it at that. So does that answer the question? You know, the irony of it, I was wondering why 2 days ago, Spirit were telling me this, because I'm thinking, I haven't even thought of that long time. Why are they bringing it now? Especially they were using Michael, and I made a note in my head like, okay, why do they want to talk about Michael, Apollo, and himself? You know, so Spirit is one. They knew what was coming. You know?
I have a question. So, apart from just like prayer, how can you use God to make any discovery? Like, specifically, and like if you're doing research or something like that, how can you use God, like while recording something very technical, to discover something?
The question is, how can you access and use that power of divinity for research, whether it's technical or science? Let us make one thing clear. The knowledge that humanity possess comes from that divinity. So there's no separation. So if something is getting difficult, then ask directly that power. Say, beloved, all inspirations come from you. All creativity comes from you. All innovation comes from you. This I need a solution to. Please guide me. to discover the right direction. Here there are sometimes specific prayers or rituals we do that even we can say that there are angels you can call that energy that helps with science discovery and all of that. So, but the key is you go into silence. Your meditation is the doorway to things like this, all of them. Do your best to go into silence, be still, you know, do your breathing and all of that. And then when you feel you are fully relaxed, and you, then concentrate on what you really want, the energy you are seeking. And then ask that energy, like you're speaking to me or anyone else that is, that you are close to, say, I like to know this. And it will come true. Never ignore, never think it's complicated. We are the one who complicates our proximity to God, to divinity, is there all the time. If you do like this, you'll be knocking against divinity. So it's not like anything is isolated. So when the key is that meditation, go into meditation after relaxation, concentrate, even just do your best. If you can be just then focus. Or if you are about to go somewhere, say, beloved, guide my ways. Reveal, let me know how to carry this out. And then it will come true. Like when I know it's time for us to do satsang, I just don't come here and wing it. I ask Spirit to speak through me because it's not about me. You know, I ask Spirit, speak so that your children, starting from me, I'm not ignoring myself, because when Spirit speaks, I'm also learning. Say, speak through me so that what message you have, the clarity will come, and we can use this as a tool for our own awakening and growth. It's the same thing for research. Sometimes when I need to find out something and I can't, and it's helped in so many ways, even when I was in business, I just asked Spirit. And somehow, if you later on ask me, how did I get to the center where the answer is, I won't be able to tell you unless I ask that day, then maybe I'll be able to put it there. I'll give an example. Something happened, all of us know Western Union, right? Something happened years ago. Send money through them somewhere, and that money just kaput. I wasn't there to claim it. The person I said didn't claim it. So I asked them, they need to give me a refund, and they were dragging that, you know. I said, Lord, you know what, you know. Somehow, I was able to get the number to the CEO. It still floors me till today. His direct number, you can't find it. It's not like you can Google it. And I called that number. And he asked, then he asked, he said, my secretary with it. And the secretary was wondering, how did I get it? I was wondering, how did I get the number? Every time I think of that, it just floors me. And what did I do? It's not because I have that magic way. I just asked, Lord, lead me, let us resolve this. Did they still give the money back? No. But then that's when I stopped using them. Because the trick they use is that, okay, I have to come into, what's that word when they bring you together, instead of suing, you know, mediation. And they want me to go to Minnesota for mediation when I live in Oregon. By the time I buy the tickets and all of that, so I just left it alone, you know. But that's a way of Spirit telling us, I'm with you, you know. I wasn't claiming to be Jesus, but Spirit led me straight on to that CEO's number. So it's the same thing for research technique. Just ask.
Baba Yogananda talked about the human soul goes through a massive long-term evolution process. I mean, it takes about like 5 million years or times. from like a mineral up to human being. Could you talk about that evolution a little bit? Talk clearly. It is a little out there from at least my mind, right? I can see how it would be, but could you explain a little bit about that?
The question is, and blessings to the great one, my beloved teacher, Paramahansa Yogananda. The question is, Paramahansa Yogananda spoke about the evolution of the human soul. That, you know, we were little thing and then we turned into rocks and we turned into trees and then birds and then human soul. So she wants us to elaborate and say, I'm going to tell you in truth, I'm still wrapping my head around that. I say, Lord, I understand it, but I still don't get it. How does that work? So you mean, before I became this, you know, I was that little itty bitty that doesn't even know how to wipe himself, you know. I don't know if those little insects, dots that they'll just bite you. You don't know until they bite you. I don't know if they have hands or anything. The reason why that thing gets complicated for us is because we are seeing ourselves in a physical form. You see, when you look at yourself in a physical form, where you feel like you are bigger than the cat. And then if the elephant looks at itself in a physical form, he knows it's bigger than you. So if you continue to go there, so then it really wraps you, like, how did that evolution take place? When you look at the gigantic tree, you know, it looks like it's bigger than the little shrub. But the fact is, a soul is a soul. It's not the size. There's nothing like the dimension of the size. Just like Sri Yukteswar said something, and thank God I was able to, I was given an example of it in spirit, where he says, when you've left your body, if you are in the astral world or the causal world or the other plane, when they tell you you are beautiful, it's not the physical beauty that humans see. The beauty they are seeing is the presence of that divine spirit in you. In other words, you are merging into that. That's what the beauty, or what in the physical form we call the halo, you know. So the soul itself is not about size. So when your soul is created, the maturity is there, but it takes, you know, because you have not had that experience yet. You know, it's like a newborn, you know. Now, a newborn, we might not know, has been the Queen of England. If Queen Elizabeth comes back as a, unless they go and read an oracle or something, nobody knows that he was Queen Elizabeth. So, and he still has to learn how to walk and all of that. So that's the way, that's what they call the evolution, you know. It's not in the physical form. So the purity of the soul is like the little dot, you know, of those things that bite you. But then, because it doesn't acquire any experience. So with that, with time, as it experience, then you see the evolution. Then it turns from that little insect to little cat, to trees and all of that. Just like, if you are here on this earth, unless those that, all of us, we've not attained the height that Jesus, Buddha, and all of them are. They still call us sons and daughters of God. But you cannot go and sit where they are sitting. Because experience matters. Talk is cheap. You know, you have to walk your way through that. And then, because you've acquired the experience, then you don't need to go out anymore. That's what is in the book of Revelations, where you become the pillar. And so then when any other thing confronts, because you know their experience, then you know how to act. You know how to help your other brothers and sisters, other souls, to come to that. You know. So when they say, pretty much all souls, they have to go through that cycle. Otherwise, you know, so when they say, oh, there are souls that have never been to this earth. Well, because humans, sometimes we confuse, now you may be talking about the angels or other spirits that are not meant for here, you know, because there are other spirits. There is no way they will come to this earth. It's not their mate. That's not how God designed it, you know. So for us, because, yeah, we get caught up, it's like the deer in the flag. Oh, we're Times Square. Oh, we're in Las Vegas. So, and we want to go through this until, even when you are Times Square, you find out, oh, I don't like that sandwich. Next time somebody says, no, I'm not eating that. It's not my thing. If you go to Vegas, I don't like to gamble. Or I don't like, yeah, so that's what that is, that evolution, you know. So, but if you come from the side of the human physique, you can't wrap your head around it. Like, how can I be a little dot? So it's the maturity of the soul they are talking about in spirit, you know. Because all of these things of this middle world, you know, are created by this for us to experience. And a lot of us, we are afraid of the underworld. Because in Christianity, they made us believe that's where hell is. There are great and good things in the underworld. Actually, without that, we can't really operate here. So you have to go to the underworld. And that was one of the things about Jesus when he died. They said he went and then he wrote, yeah. You have to go to the underworld. And then you come up. It's like diving in the ocean. You come up for air. And then you swim. And then now you want to surf, you know. And then from here you go to the other. Remember our songs, God who created the seven heavens and this earth is there. And this, yeah. Yeah. So that's what it is. Is the, because how many of us know where ancestors are? They are not hanging with the angels. They have their own places where their ancestors are. What about those old gods and goddesses? You know, yeah, they have their own place. So you need to have these experiences. Then that's the evolution they are talking about. You know, but soul, the soul is one. You know? And also, you have to go through that because you are created to enjoy all these things God has created. We must always remember, God didn't create these things for us. This was created for God. And then God created us to enjoy what God has already done for us. And here we are messing it up. Yeah. It's part of our experience, you know. So those who are born in younger generations, they might not know what it was like in the older generations. Remember before the cell phones? Yeah. You show them landline, they say, what kind of phone? This is a phone? Well, so all of us have to acquire, you know, that experience. And then the maturity is there. And then the wisdom, you know, other than the ones that are not meant to come to this world. You know, they have their own experience. Even the soul goes to the astral world and then goes to the causal world. And you acquire the, and then before you can be in that divine. That divinity is still with us. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. But what was shocking for me was like, it takes like 8 million years, you know. But as you're talking, I realize that time is just here. So it really doesn't matter. It doesn't, might not take 8 million without being, you know, in perfect time.
So. Yeah, because the only way they can describe it for you to understand, they have to use the language of this world, you know. And then it also depends on that individual soul. What, not because they are, we are given the same gift, put it that way, you know. then some of us decide how we use it and all of that. You know, a soul who is tired of being born, dying, and does it, and is totally determined that this is it, I'm not coming back. And he throws everything into it. Guess what? Because that's part of the growth. He's not coming back. Because, and if you think you're not going to get bruised or have a mark to prove that you've gone through the fire, then you are not ready for full liberation, you know. Because the forces of nature itself, I mean, just look at us. We build bridges, we build this thinking it will contain nature. Where has it ever contained nature? So the force, we have to go through that, you know? And so from that, then you, it's like you're getting your star ribbon to say, yeah. So for some, it may not take them that million years because they've determined, okay, this is it. You know, maybe it might take them several thousands years. But like you said, and it's true from what I've observed, that's why in the scripture they say 1,000 years is like a split second in the sight of God. Because when you are dealing in the wavelength of spirit, all this time, fat, and all of that, you know, it doesn't come into play. Because some of the people we know who have left their body have passed. You know, if they get hungry, they're not saying, oh, I'm going to Whole Foods or Safeway. Right there, whatever they want shows up, you know. If they feel they want sunshine, the moment, the thoughts, you know, it shows up. So how will that take time? Yeah, it's instant. Like, no, most of us cannot even believe that as we are talking, right around us, all these people have passed on, and all these spirits, I mean, it's happening at the same time. Yeah, we want to turn around. Shala is there. We might just need to know how to navigate and say, hey, Shala, you want to join us for meditation? But because we can't see, they put that. So we think these things are happening at different times. No, it's happening at the same time. I mean, if we have it, yeah, we can go and visit Lord Jesus in his palace, you know, right? At the same time. Yeah. So that concept that, yeah, because that is the only way we can comprehend that. Yeah. That's why they say it took Judas how many to get back to being what he is. Yeah. But when you look at it, it's happening. Everything is happening at the same time. It's like the ocean and the wave, mm-hmm. You know. The wave is part of the ocean. It's happening. It doesn't mean it's different from the ocean. It's the same thing at the same time. It's rising, it's falling. It's the same word. Thank God for that. Do we have any other questions from those online? Okay. We are grateful for the divine love and for the wisdom that has come through. May we all be blessed. May we continue to grow and be fully awakened in the spirit of the Creator, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.